And now, from out of the mist, comes our favorite remote viewer, Major Ed Dames. Major Dames, welcome.
From the city of the angels, Art.
How you doing, Ed? You're actually here on the mainland, huh?
I leave in the morning to go back to the islands in Polynesia. I just finished a TRV training course, a basic course in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you taught a class of people sitting in front of you like you would in a class, right?
Actually, I only teach two students at a time. It's a very intensive training course, and it is a skill. It's like learning how to either bake a cake or fly an airplane, two good analogies, and one instructor, two students.
In what way is it like baking a cake, Ed?
In the following way. There's about, nominally, I'd say 400 things to learn in the basic course. And so if one had never gone into a kitchen before, and one had signed up to take a baking course, and
right.
you had never seen a stove, ingredients, oven, or a recipe book, that's what it's like. At the end of a week, you would know how to bake.
Hmm. So in some ways, as easy as baking a cake?
Yes, in some ways, yes. In other ways, no.
All right. What, in fact, it is, though, remote viewing, we'll spend about a minute on here or 2 minutes, because by now I have a pretty educated audience, but there's always new people there. So remote viewing is what, in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, it's a way of turning the unconscious part of our individual minds toward the collective unconscious, and again toward a specific pattern of information, something we call a target, a person, a place, a thing, or event. And locking on to that target, which happens to be very easy, and describing the target in great detail in a very rigorous fashion. The rigor comes in because we have to hold our imagination at bay and keep our ego out of the way, keep the ego from analyzing the data, and hold on to the target for 45 minutes of time, and then describe in great detail a specific person, place, thing, or event.
And I have no question in my mind, I have an ego. I know I do.
Well,
I'm not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
So do you. I mean, I can listen to your voice and your assured presentation, and I know damn well you've got an ego. So I wonder how much of a problem it has been for you to learn to squish it for what you do.
It's actually not a problem. One has to become very aware of the ego. You're right. I have an ego. But when I put my pen on paper to remote view, it goes out the door for 45 minutes. Now, I can strap it back on at the end of a session, but if it enters in any way, shape, or form during a remote viewing session, I will crash and burn, and I need to know that. I also need to know the limitations of my own mind, that mine isn't what life is all about.
How hard has it been for you to learn to send your ego out the door?
It pops up in the basic course, in basic training. I'm the director, as you know, of the Technical Remote Viewing Institute, which is a center for excellence for this, 20 years of research, government.
Indeed.
And it once it goes out the door, it's out. Once you recognize the damage that it can cause in terms of destroying your ability to describe a remote target, you'll never let it enter a session again. So we train that away. In other words, we train the student to recognize when it's entering into the description of a target. We train that in the first week of training. The other higher-level courses, TRV 200 and 300 at the Institute, it's gone. It's no longer a problem.
So you can do that completely?
Absolutely. We have to.
It goes out the door, probably crushing a couple of innocent students on the way, huh?
Oh, you bet. It's a very humbling experience.
It is. I've uh-huh. never dispensed totally with my ego, and so I don't know what that would feel like. I guess it would be, humbling is probably the right word, huh?
It is, but it's only for 45 minutes, so it doesn't hurt too much.
Uh-huh. But at moments when you're not actually doing the work itself, your pride in your work is absolutely evident. I mean, as I listen to you, there it is.
It's there, and I absolutely recognize it. But I recognize it, Art. I know that it's there, so I have it under control.
Okay. And with this ability, and I think it's pretty well proven, gosh, I have talked to, I think, almost everybody in that original program. I really think that I've talked to most of you.
You missed a couple that didn't come forward, but you've got most of them, aren't
you? Who have I missed?
I can't mention their name.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. I've got someone coming on that that you might know. I'd like to mention a name to you, and maybe it's somebody you will know if I can get to it. There's a lot of bookings that I've got here, Ed, that nobody knows anything about, and this is one of them. Let's see. Dr. Greer, they don't know he's coming on. I'll have it any moment here, and I do want to ask you about him. So, at any rate, Ed, you've got some pretty good stuff coming up for us tonight, don't you?
You tasked me with two problems. One was very easy. The findings were quite revolutionary. The other problem was quite difficult, very difficult indeed.
Really?
Yes.
Which was the most difficult of the two?
The phenomenon that, or class of phenomena that you call, and you have been calling on your show, shadow people. Shadow forms, shadow people.
I thought that was going to be the hard one. I thought that was going to be the interesting one.
It's very difficult. As a remote viewer, it took all of my expertise. It took almost 20 years of experience and all the tools I could pull out of my toolbox to get a handle on that. In fact, for a while, I thought it was beyond my ken, but we finally nailed it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that tonight.
All right. Well, I've lost this. I don't know. I'll find it, and then I'll ask you about him. But save a couple of them anyway. And this gentleman's name is new to me, so someday when I find it, I'll
okay.
give it to you. Save a couple, then. I've had most of the people from the original program on, most of the people that that you worked with, and your job was what?
My job was operations and training officer. I was part of the original prototype team that, and it was an experimental team to see if, with an understanding, a laboratory understanding that the ability to remote view, the ability to be psychic, to possess extrasensory perception is innate. Could we take that and train it to individuals who are not natural psychics? When that discovery about the model, this is the model that we use in our production kit. And
Stephen Schwartz.
Stephen Schwartz,
yes.
Was actually, I chaired a panel. I was on a panel with Stephen Schwartz once. Stephen Schwartz worked with natural psychics, some of the best in America, Harold Sherman, Ingo Swann, Hella Hammett before she died. And Stephen Schwartz was a master at I want to use spy terminology since I was a spy master at one point in my life. He was a master at exploiting the natural abilities of natural psychics and putting it together into a usable picture to produce some to do something, find archaeological ruins, the same kind of things we do in technical remote viewing, but using natural psychics. And the deal with natural psychics, when we use them at various times in the military, is that you're not dealing with a technique that can be trained. The natural psychic normally does not know how he or she is producing the information, and one does not know, since they're not trained, the natural psychic doesn't know when they cross that line into imagination. That all those problems were transcended in with the advent of remote viewing the way we teach it today.
So if you take on a new student, Ed, would you rather take on a really good natural psychic or somebody who's basically psychically a flatline?
What you call flatline is not necessarily flatline.
Well, flatline, yeah, in terms of how well developed, to the point.
You don't really know the natural talents. The kit that we are putting out on the market screens for natural talent.
Yeah, I know. I love that kit, by the way. We'll talk about it. I love it.
Kit. But if I can train anyone to be a very, very good remote viewer, better than the best natural psychic who has
truly
ever
anyone,
been.
Truly anyone, Ed, or are there duds in the world?
There's a couple of duds, but I'd say they're less than about 4% of the population are.
Wow.
Yeah, and these are people that are, they're duds not because of innate ability necessarily or innate inability. It's because their lifestyle. They refuse to stop taking drugs, or they are mentally imbalanced. And if you're not balanced and you go through a remote viewing course, that's a little bit too much.
Well, gee, Ed, according to the American Psychiatric Association, one out of four people is mentally ill.
What association is that, Art?
Really, I mean, I believe that is an accurate figure. They to one degree or another. I mean,
well, that means
obviously,
that's a 50% chance that you or I are mentally ill.
I've never doubted it for a moment, Ed.
Flip a coin.
Anyway, or that, and there's an even smaller chance that we're both cockeyed.
That's right.
But the bottom line is, it can't be as good for everybody. And you're saying it's almost as good for everybody.
Actually, the bottom line is this: for people who are usually our ideal students are older than 30 years old. They are students that are very balanced intellectually, emotionally, physically. They're in touch with themselves.
Why over 30?
Because
I mean, it takes that long to get straight, or what?
Yeah, actually it does. Actually, and generally speaking, it does. The life experiences are necessary because once we turn your mind onto a target and ask you to describe something at a distance, that perception can be taught to a child. A child can be taught very easily to do the same thing that an adult can do. Hmm. But when you come back with this perception that does not have a label on it,
yes,
no word idea,
yes,
you need... Your memory needs to come up with a label, a word to describe what you're getting, or the ability to sketch, at least, what you're perceiving.
Sure.
And a child doesn't have that lexicon. The thesaurus is missing. They haven't had enough life experiences directly or indirectly to be able to say, this is whatever. You see what I mean?
Yes.
We run into the same thing with the housewife, for instance. A housewife can be taught to become an extremely good remote viewer if she had never done anything in her life. But she might have trouble describing, let's say, the inside of a nuclear weapon or klystron tubes or something like that, and may have to revert to imagination and say, well, this is like a Cuisinart.
No frame of reference whatsoever.
No baseline, no lexicon, no experience with something like that.
Isn't that sometimes dangerous, though? In other words, I can see, for example, a remote viewer who's got some target and they're sketching it, and at some point it must be almost irresistible when they themselves realize what they're sketching.
It depends on
to take a leap they ought not take and finish it off.
Not really. We don't run into that much of a problem, because most of the time what we do is train remote viewers to work against any target that they choose. We're not setting them up to work a blind target. We're teaching them to choose their targets and to accurately describe them in spite of what they imagine the target to be.
Well, I have certainly seen incredible demonstrations.
Well, you're about to see another one. There's a Fox special coming up. They were spent 2 weeks in my classroom, remote viewing, and a remote viewing environment where the best of the Institute will be shown to in primetime TV. You'll get to see remote viewing at its best. And
well, I've already seen it, and now it may have been in one of your tapes, but the fact of the matter is, no, I've seen it on TV shows that you've participated in, Ed, where they send a camera crew out to a unknown location. And by God, a remote viewer will sit there and sketch out beyond any question, to everybody's satisfaction, sufficiently close enough rendition of where it is in the world or what the setting is. I've seen it. So
we've gone one better with this. We took one student in my TRV Institute 300 course, in the advanced course, and only with one student, not a team, just the student. The student not only described the target, but named it, called it, and described what was going on in the minds of the people in the site. So,
how did the TV people most times react to that, Ed?
They were quite shocked.
The producers, the camera people, and all the rest of it. They've got to have two locations under simultaneous surveillance, and they just must rock back and go, "Oh my God."
They were nonplussed, to say the least, because people really don't know how powerful this tool is until they actually see it. And I would not do that television show unless I was promised that the viewing audience would see how much work it is to remote view. I did not want the television viewing audience to be left with the idea that this was a layback, relax, close your eyes, and tell me what you see, soundbite
no,
thing.
It's not that.
A lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And when you have seen it demonstrated, as I'm sure many of you have, you understand that remote viewing is absolutely real. I mean, it's real. That's all there is to it. Ed, it comes from collecting information from the collective consciousness. What is the collective consciousness? What's your best definition?
Instead of a definition, I'll give you a good example. A child prodigy who learned to play the piano in an unbelievable way after they're taught.
Yes.
This creativity can take off. Knows no bounds. Well, there are other children, autistic savants, autistic children who magically, having never been taught mathematics or piano, can produce the same type, the same caliber of magic, but never have been exposed to the techniques at all. They're dipping into the collective unconscious to pull the information in.
All right.
That's where we go also.
All right. Hold on, Ed. Stay right there. Yeah, I mean, where else would it come from? Some would say God. They might even be the same arenas. Who knows? But it comes from somewhere, doesn't it?
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 8th, 2001.
Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you.